Reflections with Marilyn Baker. Brought to you by Torch Trust, the Christian organization with a vision for people with sight loss.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to Reflections, the programme from Torch Trust that focuses on faith and disability. I'm your host, Marilyn Baker, and I'll be with you for the next quarter of an hour. I just love music, and the BBC Proms are an absolute feast of good music, aren't they? When we discovered Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra will be joined by their new professional disabled-led ensemble, BSO Resound, for their first major UK performance, we wanted to know more. The BSO is the first orchestra in the world to have a professional disabled-led ensemble as a core part of their activities. Sheila called Kate Risden, a visually impaired professional flautist in the BSO Resound Ensemble.
Well, thanks for coming on, Kate. How did you get involved with Resound?
Oh, I had an email come into my system which had been passed on from them to the RNIB Music Advisory Service. And so I answered their call out for disabled musicians, and the process involved an application letter, and then I was called for audition in London, and I was lucky enough to be given a place from the result of that audition and interview.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised because I have heard you playing, and it's lovely. Do you find any differences between playing in Resound and playing with other orchestras that you've been playing with?
Most of my work has been with chamber orchestra, well, chamber groups, and as a soloist. And what I would say is that the Resound Ensemble have made it their business, if you like, to ensure that the process of rehearsal and preparation for concerts has been one that I can participate in fully. So, in other words, they've got the music to me early and left enough time for it to be transcribed and for me to commit it to memory. And in that sense, they have kind of turned the process on its head. What can happen is that you turn up on the day and you're expected to sight read whatever's put in front of you, which is an incredible skill, but one I don't have.
Yeah, that must be horrendous.
Well, it's obviously, as far as I'm concerned, it would make the process inaccessible. So by doing it this way and just effectively being incredibly organised about what they're going to play and when and what they're going to rehearse and when, they have opened up the possibility.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful possibility because you'll be performing on the BBC Proms on Monday the 27th of August.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at 4:15 in the afternoon, and I'd rather like to go down to that because it sounds great.
Do come.
Yeah, I will. And it's billed as a relaxed prom. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, so this is the second time the BBC have held what they would class as a relaxed prom. And what it means is that it's really open to audiences of all ages and of who may not normally go to a classical music concert because they might feel it's not for them or it's a bit too quiet or it's possibly they're not sure. And so, you know, it's really intended that audiences of all ages and possibly with some special needs, including maybe children with autism, elderly people, who may not be able to sit absolutely still and quiet for a whole hour and a half, can go and enjoy music of a world-class orchestra, but without feeling that they have to conform particularly to the norms of concert behaviour.
Yeah, the normal concert protocols, yes.
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, we hope that people will want to come and listen because they'll be engrossed in the music, but you know, it's intended that people can come. They don't need to dress up. It's an afternoon performance, so you know, we hope that young people will come, and old people will come, and people with a visual or hearing impairment will come and find that there are facilities made available to ensure that they get as much out of the concert as they can.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic, and that's why we wanted to promote the concert, because, you know, one can see it's just an absolutely great thing, and as you say, it's world-class music to be enjoyed in a relaxed atmosphere, which is great. What's your favourite out of the pieces you're going to be playing at the prom, Kate?
Oh, that's an almost impossible question, because favourites in music are movable feasts, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If I had to pick something that I'm particularly pleased to be playing, secretly I think that might be the waltz from Sleeping Beauty, and that's purely because I spent most of my childhood doing ballet, and of course I've known this piece to listen to from a very young age, and so it's particularly pleasing to be asked to actually play it with a full orchestra finally.
And that came from Tchaikovsky's Sleeping Beauty Waltz, this time played by the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Kurt Masur. James Rose, conductor of the Resound Ensemble, has cerebral palsy. He conducts with his baton mounted to his head. He gave us a quote explaining how he conveys his conducting to Kate. It's read for us by James Brookman.
At the moment, a lot of it is about pre-planning. So we agree what happens before playing and then review it after. As well as that, I've learnt to breathe in the right places so that it makes it so much easier to cue Kate because she can hear me breathing. I know Kate has mentioned a new type of baton which converts the beats into a vibration which she can obviously feel, but that is quite a long way off from us trialling it here. So it's basically just pre-planning and breathing.
Kate went on to tell Sheila about other opportunities for the ensemble to perform.
The music that we've been rehearsing so far has been for the other arm of the Resound Ensemble's work, which is to work as an ensemble in its own right rather than embedding into the whole orchestra. And the purpose of that is that we're preparing music for concerts in local schools and in the southwest region, and we hope to expand that into the local area concerts that the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra puts on with its other small ensembles. It has a massive outreach program of concerts in small venues all over the southwest of England.
So Kate, do you feel a link between your beautiful music and your faith?
I think that would be a topic for a whole separate program, but I mean, the link between faith and music is typified in your own Marilyn Baker's work. I think anybody who knows of Marilyn's work in the genre of Christian song will understand that for many people there is a link between faith and music, which is a very direct one. I have to say, when I'm rehearsing and playing in a professional orchestral setting such as this, I don't think too much about my faith. Because I'm rather busy dealing with the buckets of notes that happen to be on the page and going past 100 miles an hour. I think that's a sort of pre-performance stage, if you like, and I often think about why I'm doing this and why I teach, which I do a lot of, and where that somehow all came from, and you know, how come this music bug seems to have got a hold of me from as early back as I can remember. And I think the answer must somehow lie in God in some way. As a matter of fact, this particular bit of work, you know, was probably an answer to prayer for more work, and the answer came in the form of work that I never, ever imagined I would be doing. And he's provided me with the best reason for being out of church on many a Sunday while I learn the notes that I can think of. It seems that I've been pushed out of church to go and learn some music because the learning process is necessarily slow and painstaking and requires quite a lot of time. And that's an element of work that my colleagues get round by sight reading effectively. So, yeah, I think there is a link. I think we could spend an awful lot of time discussing the link between faith and music.
Yeah, well, maybe we will do a programme about that later on.
Could be.
After the prom, after you're not quite so busy.
Yes, when I've got some more time.
Yeah, that's it. Well, thank you ever so much for coming on, Kate. We've really appreciated it. And obviously we wish that Resound every possible success. And I'm very much personally looking forward to the prom.
Just before Marilyn gives us the details of the prom, here's a great psalm from the Bible that leaves us in no doubt that we can worship God in music. Just like Kate, King David, who wrote many of the psalms, expected his musicians to practice hard and play with great skill.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That was Psalm 150, and it was read for us by the actor David Suchet. And now Marilyn's going to give us details of how to get to that relaxed prom. And of course, if you can't get down to London, you can always hear it broadcast on BBC Radio 3.
So don't forget, if you want to be at the very first prom to be performed by this lovely ensemble, it's Prom 59, Monday 27th August, starting at 4:15pm in the Royal Albert Hall. To get tickets, you can call the box office 020 7589 8212. Or the access line on 020 7070 4410. Or you can book online at www.royalalberthall.com. For anything else, just get in touch with us. You can call us free on 0333 123 1255. Or email us info@torchtrust.org. Till next week. From me, Marilyn, and everyone on the Reflections team, goodbye and God bless.
Reflections from Torch Trust.